In Parsha Shmini, we have all the dinim of the kosher animals. How do you determine whether any given animal is kosher or not? So the Torah says it has to be malagera mafis parsa. If it only has one siman tara, you're not allowed to eat it. How do you determine whether any given animal is a behemah or a chaya? There are differences between a behemah and a chaya. One difference is that the chaylev of a chaya is muta, the chaylev of a behemah is also within isakoris. The exact same chaylev, the exact same location in the animal, but if the given animal is a chaya, then it's muta. The animal is behemah, then it's osa. There are other differences also. The din of osa ezmano only applies to behemah, doesn't apply to chaya. The din of kisa adam only applies to chaya v'yof, doesn't apply to behemah. Other differences as well. So how do you determine? So that, the Gemara said, that's complicated. That depends on the shape of the horns. So the Shach writes in Yerideya that we only eat chaylev chaya if we have a masorah that this given animal is a chaya. If you don't have a masorah, so because it's not so easy to determine based on the shape of the horns, based on what it says in the Gemara, it's not so easy to determine that any given animal is a chaya. So we wouldn't be makel on our own to paskin that a new animal is a chaya. You have to have a masorah. That's the simple reading of the Shach. Shach lived in Vilna, and he says that's the minig in Vilna, that you only eat chaylev chaya if you have a tradition from earlier generation that this given animal is a chaya. The Chayei Adam also lived in Vilna years later. The Shach lived in Vilna in the 1660s. Chayei Adam lived in the late 1700s. Chayei Adam was the same time as the Vilna Gaon. Chayei Adam delivered a hesped when the Vilna Gaon passed away. So the Chochmas Adam quotes the Shach as saying that the meaning in Vilna is that you don't eat any given animal unless you have a masorah that it's kosher. In other words, we may be making a mistake on determining that the animal is malager, mafis parsa. That's not exactly what it says in the Shach. The Shach says it's difficult to determine the difference between a behemah and a chaya. The Shach didn't say about the malager, mafis parsa. It happens that that's also not so easy. Malager is not so easy. For, I think, well over 100 years, there's a certain animal in the African jungles that all of the world's big experts thought was a malagera. And then they came to the realization that they misjudged it, that it's not a malagera. That the Torah Tmimo quotes this issue, but at the time that he wrote his Sefer, it was still assumed by the world experts that that animal in the African jungles was a malagera. And then about 25 years ago, they came to the realization that it's not a malagera. They made a mistake. It's always chewing, but the food doesn't come back from the stomach into the mouth. Chewing gum is not called a malagera. So that's what the Chochmas Adam says, that we have a minig, that you don't eat any animal based on your own judging, that it's malagera, mafis parsa, unless we have a tradition that it's up, because you may be misjudging. In the early years after Hakamas HaMedina, they wanted to introduce the zebu into Eretz Yisrael. The zebu has milk that tastes almost the same as cow's milk, but the cows have to drink a lot of water. In the Middle East, it's very you have to drink a lot because it's very warm. So this zebu is like a camel in that sense, that it stores up a lot of water, doesn't have to drink all the time. And the milk is almost the same as the milk from a cow. So they wanted to introduce the zebu in Eretz Yisrael. So the Chazon Ish had a whole correspondence with Rav Herzog, who was the chief rabbi at that time in the early years after Hakam. Herzog was before Hakamas HaMedina, and after he was the chief rabbi. So he wrote to him that since we don't have a tradition that the zebu is a kosher animal, it's malager, mafis parsa, but it looks like a camel. It has humps on top. And they shech the zebu in South America. It's very common that they eat the zebu. And in India, the religious Jews who lived in India used to shech zebu, they used to eat it. So the Chazon Ish said, if you're going to have zebu flesh, so the Litvaks follow the Chochmas Adam like the Bible. So the Litvaks won't be able to eat the flesh from the zebu. So Rav Herzog said, but we do have a tradition. The religious Jews in India eat it. So the Chazon Ish wrote him back, no, a tradition means that you had Rabbanim, Talmid HaChachamim. In India, unfortunately, they had religious Balabatim, but they never had any prominent Talmid HaChachamim. So Rabbi Herzog gave in, so they didn't allow the Zibu. Until after years went by, so this is Keneged Adin, so maybe non-Jews did it, so the people were mating, they were breeding together Zibu with the cow, until they came to the realization that if it's 5/8 this and 3/8 that, I forgot which way, then it has the milus of both. It has the milus, the milk tastes just like cow's milk, and it doesn't have to, and it has the milus like a camel, that it doesn't have to drink so much. So once they came to that realization, you're not allowed to breed the two. That's Keneged Adin. But they did breed it, and they found out this secret, that 5/8 and 3/8. But the Gemara says in Bechoris, in the first parak, that a kosher animal cannot become pregnant from a non-kosher animal. They can't have a vlad together. So if you have an animal that we have a cow, that we have a tradition that is kosher. Cow we know is kosher. And the zebu, you don't know if it's kosher. But if it can have a vlad together with a cow, so then it's a raya that the masor that you have on the cow carries over to the zebu. So now they do allow Zibu in Eretz Yisrael. After all these years, they do allow. That was a big issue in the old biography, the Chazon Ish, in the first biography, the Per Ador, the five-volume biography. They have a whole chapter about the whole Zibu story. Yeah, so that's all based, the whole issue was based on the Chochmas Adam. Chochmas Adam lived in Vilna. He says the meaning of Vilna is that you don't eat any animal unless you have a tradition that it's kosher, because you may be making a mistake in judging. It's pretty hard to make a mistake that it's mafris parsa, but you can make a mistake about malagera v'haraya that for over 100 years the experts in the world thought that a certain animal is a malagera. It really isn't. Yeah.
Is it the same thing for kilayim and interbreeding to determine that it's kosher? Then I know if it interbreeds and produces children, so this would no longer be considered kilayim.
No. No, if they're both mintameh, or if they're both mintor, they can be molded from each other, even though they're two different minim. No, that's not so. What about benegeh to birds? So the Chumash, the Gemara in Perik, Lexi, the Sheba, Zlani, Chulin. So the end of Perik, Ela, Trefis, the Gemara has long sugya about the birds. So the Chumash never tells you what the simonim are for the birds. The Chumash just tells you which are the non-kosher birds, and everything else is kosher. But the Mishnahis tell you, what are the simonim for birds to identify whether the bird is kosher or treif? So the Gemara tells a story that the Amorim who lived in Bavel found a new bird that they never heard of before, and they ascertained that it has all the simonim, tahara, shine. So they started eating the bird. And then after a while, they came to the realization that they misjudged, and it was really a non-kosher bird. So Rashi on the Gemara usually doesn't do this. Rashi says, I'm not Gemara, therefore... It's a good, Rashi usually just gives you pshat. He doesn't give you a psak aloch al maisa. Rashi and Agamar says, therefore, it's a good idea never to eat a bird unless you have a tradition that it's a kosher bird. So this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. The Ramo quotes it. The Mechaber does not quote it. The Mechaber quotes the Mishnayos that if a bird has all this imani tahara, then you know that it's kosher. You can eat a new bird. And the Ramo quotes from the Issa Beheter by the Rabbeinu Yoina Ashkenazi. It's not the same Rabbeinu Yonah who wrote on Brochas in the Shari Tshuva. That's Rabbeinu Yonah HaSfardi. That's Rabbeinu Yonah Gironi. This is Rabbeinu Yonah Ashkenazi. He never quotes any Sfardish Rishonim. He only quotes Bali HaTesus. So the Issa Beheter HaOrach by the Rabbeinu Yonah, quoted by the Ramo, he says it's a minig by the Ashkenazim that you only eat a bird. You don't eat a new bird unless you have a tradition on it that is kosher, because you may be judging incorrectly. You may make a mistake like the Amorim made a mistake and they ate a non-kosher bird. So that was the issue with the turkey, that the turkey has all the simani tahara of a kosher bird, but we never had a tradition on the turkey. So when Columbus brought the turkey back from the United States, from America, he brought it back to Spain. So the Jews in Spain asfardim. So they followed the Mechaber. So they don't need any tradition. So they were eating the turkey. But then the Ashkenazim and the other countries saw that the Jews are eating it, or they must have a masara. That is a kosher animal. They didn't realize the turkey came in through the back door over here. There never was a masara on the turkey. So that was a big problem. So that's why there were, throughout all the generations, there were some tzaddikim who wouldn't eat turkey because we don't have a masor. On the side of the big Yerideya, they have printed that the Shalom says that you shouldn't eat turkey. Rabbi David Horowitz, who's a Rebbe in Yeshiva, says he's a descendant from the Shalom. His name is Horowitz, the Shalom's name. So he says in his family, he has some relatives, they'll eat Chazar on Yom Kippur, but they won't eat turkey. That's the family tradition, they don't eat turkey. Yeah. Yes.
So you can't get the zibur. But here you do have something to come in that are approving it. So can't you
say this
is a backdoor, that
even though the Ashkenazim went to said that it's okay, but now there isn't a Masara. 300 years, 400 years, people were eating it based on Rabbanim. And now there isn't a Masara. Yeah. I don't know. Rashi
says you shouldn't eat
any, the Ramah quotes this from the Isra'at, from Rashi, you shouldn't eat any new bird unless you have a tradition from earlier generations. We clearly didn't have a tradition on turkey because they didn't have it in Europe. Where the Jews lived, they didn't have it. They brought it from wherever they brought it, from the Far East. They brought it to America, and then it came back to Europe from America. But there never was a tradition in the earlier generation. So some of the Acharonim write there was a Masora on the turkey. The American Indians were descendants from the Aseres HaShvatim. They write with a straight face, and they had a Masora that was kosher. But they write other funny suggestions similar to that. The Pashtus says that there never was a Masora on the turkey. Shaila is, the Chasam Sofer writes in a tshuva, he assumed this is Negel Alocha, just like the Gemara says in the first Perek in Bechoris that a kosher and a non-kosher animal cannot have vlodis together. So if you have a Masora on the cow, you have a Masora on the zebu, but it carries over because they can be moiled together. So does that apply to birds as well? So the Chasam Sofer assumes that it does, that a kosher bird and a non-kosher bird cannot have lotus together. So that's the question. The fact that the turkey and the chicken can have lotus together should indicate that the turkey, so the masor that you have on the chicken, carries over to the turkey. But I think they told me that they don't mate on their own. They only do it with artificial insemination. So that's the turkey and the they don't go for each other. Look, just because a boy and a girl are both human beings, they don't have to marry each other. So even if the turkey and the hen are both kosher birds, but they don't want to sleep together, so they don't mate on their own. They have artificial insemination. They could be moiled vlodis together. So that's not so clear. Whether the Gemara's cloud that a tom and a tohar cannot be moiled. Maybe that's only, you cannot be moiled on their own. Maybe with artificial insemination they can. So that's the issue with the turkey. Okay. What's the story with the fish? So the fish, the Chumash says, you have to have snapir v'kaskesis. So the question is, what if you have snapir v'kaskesis and the fish and the sea animal has, in addition to snapir v'kaskesis, has arms and has legs, and it dances and it sings and does other things. It doesn't look like a fish. It's a different kind of an animal. So that's a big machloikis. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes, Allah HaMayseh is mutter. It doesn't have to have the tzura of a fish, it's mutter. But in the days of the Rishonim, this was a big debate. And in the Beis Yosef, he quotes, the Balei HaTosfos had a big machloikis about the barbuta. They don't explain what it is. So in the Hagos, Rabbeinu Peretz, on the bottom of the page in the Smak, the Sefer Mitzvahs Katan, that's one of the Balei HaTosfos has. The assumption was that snapir v'kaskesis is only mutter, not if it's a sea animal. It has to be a fish. Has to have a tzuras adag. And what's a tzuras adag? So part of the tzuras adag is that the tail has to be indented. If the tail is straight, that doesn't have tzuras adag. We eat sole fish. Sole is not indented. So if you look in the Encyclopedia Talmudit on the dagim, so they have pictures of the sole. The sole, the tail is straight on the back. So that was barbuta, was something like that. It was a fish that the tail was not indented. It didn't have an indention like a V. It was straight. So there was a big machlekes, and one of the Rishonim who allowed it had a dream, and in his dream he saw the way he's feeding chazer to the Jewish people. And he woke up, and he realized that the dream is telling him that his psak on the barbuta is incorrect. We eat the barbuta. We eat so. We even, the Aruch HaShulchan says, it's even mutter if it has arms and it has legs. It doesn't have a tzura of a fish at all. We make al on that too. But in the days of the Rishayim, that was a big machlokes. Does it have to have a tzura sadak? There is a king clip fish that is not available in America. They have it in South Africa. That Rabbi Chaim Oizer had a brother-in-law, Rabbi Kosofsky, who was a rabbi, big Talmud Chacham, rabbi in South Africa, Rabbi Shulman, who's a rabbi here in Yeshiva. What's the first name? Eliyahu Baruch Shulman. So he is a descendant. His mother is a granddaughter of Rabbi Kosofsky. They have a lot of family traditions from him. So this Rabbi Kosofsky permitted, he lived in South Africa 100 years ago. So he permitted the king clip fish. The shaila is it has fins and scales, but the scales are very soft. Usually the scales are like plastic. So the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, that's not in Chulin already, that's in Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah that the idea behind the scales in a kosher fish is that it protects the fish from the salt water. So it protects the fish. One can argue the point and say, if it scales like plastic, as a covering. But the this king clip that they have in South Africa, the scales are just like another layer of skin. They're tiny little boxes, but it's like another layer of skin. So if I would have been entitled to an opinion, I would have thought that it's not called scales. But they eat it in South Africa, and every 20 years or so, someone starts making a whole tumult that it's not a kosher fish. And they always go back. They say, no, Rabbi Kosofsky said that it's kosher. When I was visiting in South Africa a few years ago, so I was there for a week. So the last day, someone came over to me. I think it was on Monday morning. Someone came over to me. He gave me a book and he left. I didn't know who he was. He gave me a sefer and he left. So after davening, the balabas whose home I was staying by drove me home. We were going to the airport to leave. So he says, you know that person? I said, I don't know. Who is he? He said, it's a good thing you don't know him. He's the rabbi who asks the king clip, and he's like in cherem. Nobody looks at him. Nobody pays attention to him. They're angry at him. Why? He says against the bezin. The bezin there says that you're allowed to eat the king clip, and he's not happy about it. Anyway, so that is an issue. Sturgeon was a big issue. The Ramban al Torah has a chiddush. The question is whether we should pass on like the Rabban. Rabban has a chiddush that it's only called kaskeses if it's attached on one end and you take a knife and you can scrape off all of the scales by pulling in one direction. But if the scales are attached on both sides and the only way to get them off is by putting the knife under the scale and yanking it out, so the Ramban has a chiddush that that's not called kaskeses. So that's what the issue with the sturgeon. The sturgeon, the scale has fins and scales, but the scales are attached on both sides. So there were those who said, I think the Malamed Lohel writes, why should we pass on like the Rabban? Who says that that's the din? But that was a big issue. In the days of the Chasam Sefer, in the middle 1800s, that was the beginning of the Reform movement, was that a lot of those Reform rabbis got smicha from the Chasam Sefer. A lot of them learned by the Chasam Sefer. And then they floated away a little bit. So one of the first pirtzes was that Aaron Harina Rabina, that's how he used to sign his name, Aaron Harina, he was a rabbi, Rabina, so Chasam Sefer calls him Acher, Aleph Ches Resh. Acher was an apikoros in the days of the Tanoim, Elisha ben Avuya, they called him Acher. So Aaron Harina Rabina, he was the one who said that you can eat the sturgeon, made such a big Machlokes, that was the big, and then starting from that, then it became Reform. Yeah, it wasn't like the Reform in our generation that they'll marry a Jew with a non-Jew and marry same-sex marriages and so on. It wasn't like that, but it was the beginning of a pirtzim. So that's an issue whether you're allowed to. Yeah, there is the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs and the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah writes that there's a mitzvah bedika simonim, that you shouldn't eat a fish or an animal or a bird unless you do bedika simonim. What does that mean? So the Rivosh has a tshuva, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank has a tshuva about this, Rivosh's tshuva, that it's discussed, and I said, Kelem, on Shulchan Aruch, discuss it. Let's say you live in a region, you know, when they go fishing in this sea, in the ocean, in this location, ruba de ruba of the fish are kosher, but there's a miut that are not kosher. So one would have thought, yeah, but and I don't know how to determine which fish is kosher, which fish is not kosher. I can't tell. I don't know what snapa v'kaskesis is all about. Or let's say they already took off, they caught the fish and they removed the skin. And they say, after you remove the skin from the fish, even the world's greatest ichthyologist, I think that's the word for a fish expert, even the world's greatest ichthyologist will not be able to identify what the fish is. Once you remove the skin, you can't tell what it is. So the question is, but the ruba of the fish in this area are kosher. So that's what the Rivosh says, that's the mitzvah bedika simonim. That even though the roif tells you that it's kosher, you shouldn't rely on a roif, you should be bedik exactly. Yeah. The question is, the OU gives hechsher on kosher tuna fish. And they don't have someone check each and every fish to see that it has snapa v'kaskesis. So Rabbi Tendler Shlita says that whoever eats from the OU tuna fish deserves six times malchus. When you go to a wedding, so sometimes some of the rabbanim, they don't want to rely on hashgacha, so they ask, could you please give me fish instead of you eating meat? So some rabbanim will risk it on chicken, not on meat. It's easier to shech chickens than to shech meat. Some rabbanim don't want to risk it even on the chicken. They'd rather eat the fish. So Rabbi Tendler is very entertaining. So he'll say, it's better to risk it on the flesh. You only get once malchus if it's nevela. If it's a tray for fish, the Gemara says you can get six times malchus. If you eat cherets on mayim, sometimes you get six times malchus. Yeah. So Rabbi Tendler Tain is that you have to do bedikas simanim. Nobody's there checking all the siman. So the Darkei Tshuva by the Minkacher has a comment on that simon in Yerideya about the simon about the fish. So he asks, how can you say that there's a din they need bedikas simanim? The Gemara has a din. Rashi and Chumash quotes, the Gemara has a din. If this fish, I caught the fish when it was young. If I would leave the fish in the ocean or the river a little longer, it would develop kaskasim. It doesn't have kaskasim yet. So it says in the Gemara, it says in Shulchan Aruch that it's mutter, even though it doesn't have kaskasim now, but if I would let it grow another half a year, it would have developed kaskasim. So how can you do bedika simonim? It doesn't have, you know that it doesn't have simonim. It doesn't have kaskasim now. So the Darkei Tshuva says the only time there's a din that you need bedika simonim, not to rely on roiv, is if you can't identify what the nature of the fish is. But if you know that this is a tuna fish, even if it doesn't have kaskesis now, but if I know it's a tuna fish, then you don't have to have bedika simonim. Let's say the shechet is shechting cows in the slaughterhouse. So does he have to keep on looking down? He has to look for a few minutes to make sure that it's malagera. Then he has to look at the feet to see it's mafis parsa. He knows that this is a cow. He knows that a cow is a malagera mafis parsa. So you don't need bedika simonim over there. So that's what the Darkei Tshuva says. If you know what the nature of the fish is, you know that it's all tuna fish. So then you don't need bedika simonim. Bedika simonim is only, it's not a mitzvah. Bedika simonim is only if you don't know what the nature of the fish is. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank has a discussion of the tshuva in his tshuva, Har Tzvi Yerideya. He has a discussion of the Rivosh. There are different degrees of roiv. We were speaking yesterday a little bit. Rabbi Akivega writes in the Tshuvas Tinyona, in Holcha B'Mammon Acher HaRoiv, only applies if it's a normal roiv. If it's an extremely strong roiv, 99% roiv, then you are Moitzi Mammon based on a roiv. If it's an 80%, 90% roiv, you're not Moitzi Mammon. But it's 99% roiv. The miut against the roiv is a miut chain of matzu. It's a miut of the miuta. So just like Rabbi Kibbeg says, just like on the first half in Gittin, the Gemara says, Rameir is chayish le miuta, but miuta the miuta, he's not chayish. So too, you're not moitzi imam based on a roiv, but if the miut against the roiv is only miuta and a miuta, like 99%, then you are moitzi imam based on that. The different degrees of roiv, the halacha recognizes there's a roiv of 51%, 61%, 71%, 81%, 91%. The difference is la'alocha. The Gemara has a discussion in three different places. There's a three-way stira on this halacha. What's the din if a person has a migu? But when the migu is contradicted by a roif, the guy says, I say that I lent you money, you didn't pay me back the money. So if he say loy lavisi, or you say paraiti, that's kofar hakol. So kofar hakol is neman belishvu. What if you don't say lo lavisi and you don't say paraita, you say lavisi velo paraita avo machalta? That's already, that's not such a direct tainus p'tur. That's not so common. Machalta. $1,000? Why should I be moichel $1,000? Maybe a nickel. $1,000, why should I be moichel? I'm not so friendly. On this chayafta li kenegdan, he says, true, I borrowed $1,000 from you, and I never paid it back, and I'm not going to pay it back because you crashed into my car, and you owe me $1,000. So it's $1,000, and $1,000 are washed. It's not so normal. So that's only nemu with amigu. That's not called kofar hakol. Kofar hakol is only, that's the Ran and Shavuos explains. Why isn't every migu? Why isn't there kofar hakol? So the answer is kofar hakol is nemu minator belishvua. That means if he says lo lavisi or he says paraiti, the most direct taina is p'tur. But if there's a taina reya, there's a little bit fuzzy, it's a little bit unusual, the taina, not so smooth, he says machalton, the schayavta likenegdon, then the nitva is only believed with amigu. And what if he says such a cockeyed story, I borrowed $1,000, I'm not going to pay back because the cow jumped over the moon and it was this and it was that. Such a long, cockeyed story. And he says it with a straight face. That's why I'm pata. That's what happened. So that's a migu contradicted by a chazoke, by Ruba de Leisa Kamon. So what's the din? Migu memokam chazoke. If you have, what do you need the whole din of migu for? Let every migu, when he says machaltan, it's chayavta li kenegdon. So let it be koifer hakel. So the answer is no, it's a taina reya. It's not such a smooth taina. So if it's very much not smooth, very, very cockeyed, so then there's a three-way steer in the Gemara. So one Gemara says, Migu Mimakam Chazoka is good. One Gemara says, Migu Mimakam is no good. And Bovibasa Dafayam Ebeis, it's in Ibai the Leib Shita. Where the Migu Mimakam Chazoka, Migu contradicted by Ruben Leisa Kamon, is it good or no good? So Taisus there has on Dalar on Ebeis, Taisus points out the steer. So Taisus gives difficulty, roots him. So the Shach at the end of Simon Pei Beis has Kloli Migu. In Hungary, they used to learn, and when they learned Baba Metzia in Hungary, so they would learn with the children, Kloli Migu, and the Shach, and Simon Pei Beis. So the Shach says, we paskan la locha like the Nemuke Yosef, who answers Taisa's Kasha. When is Migu Mokam Chazoka good? When is it no good? What is it about Leib Shita? It depends how strong the Roiv is. If it's a 90% Roiv, highly unlikely the cow jumped over the moon and the whole cockeyed story, then the migu, that's not neman vitam migu. If the migu is contradicted by a roiv, it's 60% unlikely, then the migu is good. And if it's contradicted by 80% roiv, then it's in a bayit. Leib shita anymore. There are different degrees of roiv. Different degrees. We said yesterday from the Chassam Sefer, in the letter that he sent to Tzvi Hirsch Chayes, that the Chevei Kadisha, when they see the guy stop breathing for 15 minutes, so that's it. So they start making the tahara and they bury him. Aye, but there's a possibility, like the Rambam writes in Moreh Nevuchim, he quotes from Galen, that a person wasn't breathing for a couple of days and then he came to. He says, it's so highly unlikely, it's a miut, shein, a motzi, klala, kala, echen, mini, elef, alfe, alofim, so you don't have to worry about such, even though the Gemara says, lehoch, bibuch, nefosh, sachar, harayif. But such a roiv is not even called the suffix akanas. You just ignore the miyot over there. So different halacha recognizes different degrees of roiv. So that's why Tzvi Pestre Frank has a tshuva where he discusses this rivosh, that the din of bedika simonim means that you shouldn't rely on a roiv. The roiv of the fish in this area are always kosher. You shouldn't rely on the roiv. It depends how strong the roiv is. If it's a roiv of 97%, you don't need that. It should be 99.99%. So a roiv of 95% also, you're not in violation of Bedika Simon. If it's a stronger roiv, then there's no issue of Bedika Simon. and whatever. And then the Darkei Tshuva says that if you know, if you can identify what the type of the fish is, or what the type, you know that this is a cow. You know that this is a zebu or a cow. So you don't have to check to see if it's malager, mafis, farsa. You know that it's a cow, so you can check it. Yeah. Yes, yes. So the Ramah wrote the Darkei Moshe on the tour. He didn't have a Beis Yosef. And then when he got a copy of the Beis Yosef, so he realized that he wrote a lot of what the Beis Yosef much longer than the Darkei Moshe. So he made a second edition. So all the editions of the tour that we have now, the regular editions have the kitzur of the Darkei Moshe. And then they printed the long Darkei Moshe Ha'orach. So you look in the Darkei Moshe Ha'orach, I think it's Siman Pei Gimel or something like that, the Siman about fish. So both the Darkei Moshe and the Oruch, the longer version, and the Beis Yosef, they both quote the Tosfos Rid in Maseches Avodah Zarah about tuna fish. He's talking about tuna fish. Daga tuna. He's talking about tuna fish. So he said, if we know that the Nochrim don't have the manis to tell me what's kosher and what's not kosher. But if the Nochrim tell me for their business purposes, they checked every single fish and they know that every single fish is a tuna fish. So then it's not a question of having the manis. That's the way they run their business. In fact, there are three different kinds of tuna fish. There are many different kinds of tuna fish, but there are three that they prepare for human consumption. They prepare the others for animals. So they have yellowfin, skipjack, and albacore. And each one has to be cooked with a different broth and a different number of minutes. So one is cooked up 8.5 minutes, one is cooked 10 minutes, one is cooked 11 minutes or something. So they said in the Jewish tuna fish company, Dagim tuna fish company, when they were just in business for 11 years, and they would check more. They don't check every single fish, but they check much more than the OU. So they asked them, how often did you find a non-kosher fish? So they said, after being in business 11 years, they said, not only did they never find a non-kosher fish, not only did they never find a different kosher fish, they never found another tuna fish. When they were doing albacore, every time they checked, there was only albacore. When they're doing skipjack, there was only skipjack. When they do it for their business purposes. They have the soup, the broth that they cook it in, has to be, this broth is good for this fish. And each one has for business purposes. They cook each fish a different amount of time. So it's not that the Nochem have the manis. That's the way they run their business. They don't have the manis, but it's a Ruben Elisa Kaman. They're going to run their business the way they always did it. So that's what the Tosfos Rid, who's quoted both by the Beis Yosef and by the Darkei Moshe Ha'orach, they quote this. He happens to be talking, Tosfos Rid is talking about tuna fish. He says, if the Nochem are makbid for the business purposes, only to do tuna fish, says, you have the right to assume that it's kosher. It's such a strong rive. You have a right to assume that it's kosher. You don't need Bedikas Simonim over there. What's his story with Bisar Odom? What about human flesh? So that's a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam came up with the Chiddush that the Bisar Odom has an Iser Asay. That the Torah says, Zos habeim asher tochelu, these and only these are the kosher animals. And if you eat a non-kosher fish or a non-kosher animal, non-kosher bird, then you get malchus because there's a lav. If you eat Bisar Odom, there's no lav on Bisar Odom, but the Rambam came up with the Chiddush, there's an Iser Asay. The Ramban argues with the Rambam. We have a din of Basayano, an ostrich's drape. So what does the Pasuk say, Basayano? So the Gemara says in Chulin, in the end of Perik Eilu Treifes, when they talk about the non-kosher bird, a famous sugya there, Nesher. Nesher is a big, complicated sugya. In the Hungarian yeshivas, they used to spend time, a long balamor, unusually long balamor, on that sugya of Nesher. In Hebrew literature, they wrote about the Rebbe giving the shiur on the complicated sugya of Nesher. And our yeshiva's been heavy, we don't even know what the sugya is. We don't know what the whole talk is. Very long balamor there. Yeah. How do you identify when the bird is kosher, when it's not kosher? So the Ramban asks Akasha on the Rambam that Cholavisha is Mutter, if a Cholavisha is Mutter Men HaTorah, if Bisar Adam would have an Isar Asei, so Cholav should be Yetzim Men HaTomim, should be Tomim, because we learn that from the Pasuk Basayana, it doesn't go on the female ostrich, it goes on the Beitz HaSoif Tomim. That's called Hayetzim Men HaTomim Tomim. Tomim means non-kosher. So if you have a non-kosher a pig and you milk it, or you have a cow, which is a kosher animal, but it happens to be a trefa, has a broken leg in such a way that it's a trefa, so you're not allowed to drink the milk. So the milk or the eggs that are laid by the eagle's eggs, are treif, or yotzim and atome is tome, yotzim and atocher is tar. So if the Rambam would be right, that besar adam should be osim and ator to eat, how can you drink chalavisha? So the Raga Mishnah comes to defend the Rambam, and he says, if you look in the Rambam, when he quotes the din of yotzim and atome tome, the Rambam is careful to write, yotzim and atome is only osir if there's an isa lav. If it only has an isa esse, then there's no isa yotzim and atome. The Rambam says, besar adam is osir, only have it as an iser esse. Zos habeima shetachelu, zos hachaya shetachelu, this and not other things. The Bsar Adam, the Rambam held, only has an iser esse. And the Noik Shaboilim, they consider cannibalism a very big aver. Even the non-Jews will eat chazet, will eat trefus, but they won't eat human flesh. So there was a big... there's a sefer on chulin, a couple of years ago, when we were learning chulin in the Shia. We use the sefer Doravi. Doravi is the first great-grandchild of the Chassam Sefer, who is named after the Chassam Sefer. His name is Moshe. Chassam Sefer's name is Moshe. He was the first, the oldest great-grandchild. He's a Doravi from the Chassam Sefer. And he wrote his sefer on Chulin, very interesting. The Satmar Rebbe held that this Doravi was an apikeres because he was a Zionist. By definition, you're not because if you're a Zionist. So he moved, he was a rabbi in Kloisenberg. He was not the Kloisenberg Rebbe, he was a rabbi in Kloisenberg. And he moved to Eretz Yisrael way before Hakamas HaMedina. He moved to Eretz Yisrael because that's also, not only after Hakamas HaMedina, you are not because before Hakamas HaMedina. There were always tzaddikim who moved to Eretz Yisrael. I don't know why he became an apikar. Anyway, the Sefer HaChulin is outstanding. Sefer. The Ravi is very open-minded. He raises issues. He brings out Ha'ora is a very strong sefer. So he has a Hakadamah. The Doravi on Chulan has a Hakadamah where he speaks about the development of the Torah Shebal Peh. Very fascinating introduction. So he has one comment he makes that's highly questionable. He says a person is on a desert island and he has to eat something treif in order to save his life. So the din is in the Gemara in the last perk in Yuma, it says you have to machila mosa hakala kal tchila. If you can either eat chazer or eat chelev, so chazer is alav, chelev is kores, so chelev is mochamen and chazer, so machila mosa hakala kal tchila. Or let's say you have to eat on Yom Kippur. So the person doesn't have to eat a whole meal bevasacha, so if he'll eat pachas mikashir, he'll eat less than a shir, and wait a few minutes, then eat less than a shir. So chatzishir is asim and atar, but there's no kares. There's no malkas on a chatzishir. So it's better to violate, if you have to do an avera, because B'koch Nemesh, it's better to violate the lesser avera than to violate the bigger avera. So that's the whole idea behind machilim oso, pochas mikashir, because machilim oso akal akal tchilim. So the question is, you have a choice over here. You have chazer, and you have human flesh. So chazer is a lav, and human flesh is, according to the worst it is, according to the Rambam, is only an iser asei. So which is called akala kaltchila? So the pashtus is in the sugya, in the last perek in Yom, it's all determined by the onesh. If you have one has misa b'dei shemayim, one has kores, the kores is worse than misa b'dei shemayim. And one has a lav and one has an asei. So the lav is mochamed than the asei. So the pashtus is that b'sar adam, the worst it can be is an iser asei. And the vela is an iser lav. So that should be the kal. So this Doravi, maybe he's an apikoris because of this. He said, but the Satmar Rebbe held him as an apikoris because of his Zionism, because he moved to Eretz Yisrael. So the Duravi writes in his Hakdama that he thinks that since it's mekubal in the world, in the modern world, that cannibalism is such a terrible avera, so that's considered mochamer, even though according to the Mishpatei HaTorah, the Chazra, the Nevela is alive, and the Bistarotim is only an Isar Esay, but since it's mekubal in the outside world like that, so that's considered mochamer. So they told me that in Etzion there was a machloikis between the two Rosh Yeshiva. The Rabban Lichtenstein thought that it was not correct. Rabban Lichtenstein thought based on the Gemara, it depends on the Misa V'dei Shemaim, Kori, Slav, Essay, and go according to the Halacha. And Rabbi Mital was from Hungary. So he was, that was a neighbor of his. So he felt like the Doravi. He followed the Doravi. Anyway, he hopes no one should ever be on a desert island. Should never have the Shiloh. Yudas Kain in Bali Atosis has an interesting comment on this week's Sedra about getting drunk. Nadav Avihu died. Different versions. What happened over here? The Gemara has different versions. One of the comments that the Gemara has is that their Avera was that they were drunk when they did Avoida, because right after they died, Kodesh Baruch Hu says that Kohanim should not drink. So why was it given over here? It must be because that was their avera. So on that pasuk, the Das Kain Bali Atosis writes that Odom Harishon married his wife Chava. Baruch Shalom was the Shatran, and Baruch Shalom was the Shushbin. The Gemara has, and he got drunk at his wedding, and because he got drunk at his own wedding, that's what impaired his judgment. That's what the police say, that you shouldn't drive when you're a little bit drunk, because if you're drunk, it'll impair your judgment, so you may miscalculate. So you shouldn't drive a car, and you shouldn't deal with a machine that you can cut your fingers off, because you may miscalculate. So that's what led Adam Rishon to misjudge, and he ate from the Eitz Hadas. Under the influence of the alcohol, he ate from the Eitz Hadas. If he would have not been drunk, he would have not have sinned in the first place. And that's why the Das Kenim said, that's why the minig is that when someone drinks some intoxicating beverage, so they say, L'chaim, it shouldn't be like Adam Arishan. Because Adam Arishan, under the influence of the alcohol, sinned by eating from the Eitz Hadas, and that was maybe Klol HaLoilam, that brought B'yom HaChochem Mena, most Tomus. Doesn't mean that Adam Rishon is going to die the day that he eats from the Eitz Hadas. It means it will be Nigza Misa on humanity. So he ate from the Eitz Hadas and it was Nigza Misa on humanity. So that's why we say when someone takes a drink of an intoxicating beverage, we say, L'chaim. Yeah. There are different interpretations in the Medrash. When Yaakov Avinu had the dream of the Sulam Mutzav Arzav Rosh HaMagiyah Shemaimah, what were the Malachim Olav Yordim? What was going on over there? So one interpretation is that the Malachim went to the Kisei HaKovet, Olim V'Yodim. They went to the Kisei HaKovet. They saw the most Yukdun Sheyank Ravino is Chakuka al Kisei HaKovet. And Gemara says that there were four faces. The Pasuk says that there were four faces on the Kisei HaKovet. Pnei Aryeh Kruv Neshe Odom. And the tradition has it that the Dmus of Odom was the Dmus of Yank Ravino. So the Malachim saw the Musa of Yankarina Chakuk al Kisei HaKovet. Then they came down and they saw this man is sleeping. This man has such tremendous potential to become such a big tzaddik, and he's sleeping, so they had tainus. So the Gemara's version in Gidon Asher in Chulin is Bikshul Lahargoy. So Rab Chaim Valojana writes in Nefesh HaChaim, why was Bikshul Lahargoy? If a person has tremendous potential, he should do something with his time. He shouldn't sleep in bed all day long, and he shouldn't get drunk, and he shouldn't go on drugs. He should remain with his seichel. The whole uniqueness of human beings is that they have seichel, they have bchira chavshis, and they should maximize their potential. They should do something about it. So it says the Gemara has bikshul lahargoy, and then the pasuk says if ine Hashem nitzavalov lishamroy. The Ribbono Shel Olam, it's unclear. Nitzavalov means that on top of Yaakov Avinu or on top of the ladder. There are two interpretations in the Mefarshim. So the Gemara interprets, in Hashem Nitzavol of Lishamra, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hovering over Yankov Avinu to protect him from the Malachim. Ribbono Shel Olam said, he's sleepy, give him a chance to rest. He doesn't sleep so much. He doesn't oversleep. But that's a terrible thing. There's a new shtick now. I don't think why you boys do this. The boys from the other yeshiva have the shtick. They go to a wedding and they get drunk. That's terrible. Like shikurim. If you have a cold, you should drink some schnapps, okay, and go to sleep. But to get drunk hazai is a terrible thing. The pasuk says in this week said, "Vayis Aaron Zorah Balam Vayivochim Vayerid Me'asos Achatas Viha Olo." So the Gemara learns that from the pasuk Gemara in Soito Perik Ela Nemorim. The second half of Masechah Soito is like in Yonim or Brachas. Soita ends, the Yonim of Soita end by Daf Chav Tes. And the second half is much easier than the first half. So the Perik begins, Ela Nemorim, the following mitzvahs of Kriya have to be fulfilled in the original Hebrew, and some of the mitzvahs can be fulfilled in translation. Like there's a Machlokes, can you fulfill Kriya Shema in translation? So we pass and you can, and one Tana holds no, you have to recite Kriya Shema in the original Hebrew, and so on. So Duchening has to be in the original Hebrew. So many of the dinim of Nesias Kapayim appear in that Perek and Perek El Nemar. So the Gemara says that you only have Nesias Kapayim at the conclusion of Hakrobas Karbonas Sibur. That's what it says. V'yisamin Nesiyot Avalam v'yivorchem v'yevid me'asos achatos v'ho olo. These were Karbonas Sibur. So the Gemara says Duchening is only at the conclusion of Hakrobas Karbonas Sibur. So the Beis Hamikdash every day, after the Talmud Shal Shachar, they used to duchen. That's what Rabbi Yankov Emden says in the Sefer Morik Tzia, Sefer on the tour in the Beis Yosef and Aruch Chaim. Mishnah Berurah quotes him every so often. So Rabbi Yankov Emden writes that duchening b'zman hazeh can only be midirabbanan because we don't have any hakrobas karbonas tzibus. And Mishnah Berurah quotes it, and then it's not in the Mishnah Berurah, it's not in the Bir Halacha, it's not in the Shaar HaTzion. There's an asterisk on the Shulchan Aruch, and that's on the bottom of the page. I don't know, why didn't he put it? Why he had to put it on the bottom of the page? I don't know. Should he put it in the Bir Halacha? So he writes, with all the respect, he disagrees with Rabbi Yankov Emden, and he quotes Gemaris, that Duchening B'zman HaZeh is also deraisa. So the Shaila is, all right, he proved from the Gemara that it's deraisa, but what do you do with this Gemara? Gemara says Duchening is only at the conclusion of Hakrobas Karbonas Tzibur. So that's what Rabbi Soloveitchik said over the comment that the Keren Ora has. Keren Ora was the brother of the Mishkanes Yankov. After the Mishkanes Yankov passed away, he took over the Rabbanus in Karlin. Karlin had Karlin and Hasidim, Stalin and Hasidim. Karlin and Stalin are two twin cities. You walk 5 minutes, you're in like a Bergenfield in Tinek. You walk 5 minutes, you're in the other city. There are a lot of cities like that in America. So the Mishkanes Yankov was learned in Valozhin. So he was quite a few of the tshuvas in his sefer just to disagree with practices that the Hasidim had. You know, the tshuvas are tshuvas, normal. Nothing to do with the Hasidim. So the Keren Ora has on all the Masechtos of Kochim. He wrote his sefer Keren Ora. So he has on Soita also because there's a lot of Kochim there. So he writes that when we daven Shmoneh Esrei, we say Shema Kolenu Kabel Berachmim Uvirotzen Estvil Seinu Baruch Atah Hashem Shemei Atvila. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He should accept our prayers. Then we say Itzei Hashem L'Kayenu Ba'am Chisol Levis Filosam. You should accept the prayers. So we just said that you should accept the prayers. What do you say again? Itzei Ba'am Chisol Levis Filosam. So he says that Ritzei means it should be accepted as if we brought a korban. Ritzui, that's what Rabbi Soloveitchik pointed out from the Bala Tanya, that Ritzui is a technical term that appears in the Chumash, it appears in Mishnayos a lot. If the korban is kosher, it says hurtza. The korban is not kosher, it says loy hurtza, not acceptable. So shemei tefila, yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu to accept the prayers. It's ebeham chisol abis filasa means HaKadosh Baruch Hu should accept the prayers as if we had offered a korban. So there are two types of korbanos. There's a korban yochid and there's a korban tzibur. So there are two types of tefilas. There's a tefilas hayochid and a tefilas hatzibur. Tefilas HaTzibur is the Chazaras HaShatz. The Chazan repeats the Shmoneh Esrei out loud, and everybody's supposed to pay attention. Not supposed to talk in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz. Everybody's supposed to pay attention. to join along in the Tfilas HaTzibur. So when a private person davens Tfilah Belachash and he says, would say, he succeeds in converting his Tfilah into something that's parallel to a Korban Yochid. When the Chazan offers the Tfilas HaTzibur and he says, would say, Bam Chisol of his Tfilosim, he succeeds in converting the Tfilas HaTzibur into a Korban Tzibur. So after the Chazan says, would say, it's considered Menat Torah, as if we had offered a Korban Tzibur. So this enables the Kohanim to duchen. Duchening is at the conclusion of Hakrovas Kabonas Tzibur. And this works Menat Torah. Wow. Achidish.
So why do we wait until after Mogen
to do? The last bracha in the Shemana Esri is Sim Shalom. And that's the last bracha of Yasim Lachal Shalom. So the last bracha is called Birchas Kohanim. Our practice is that we don't say Lekem Chatzenu. The Chazan says in the Chazaras Hashatz, the Yochid doesn't say it b'tfilah belachash, but the Tur quotes, other communities had the practice that everybody says it. You say it even in tfilah belachash. Because the last bracha, Sim Shalom, Shalom, is known as the bracha, Birchas Kohanim. So that's what the Chachamim instituted. You should have the Nesias Kapayim right before the last bracha. But because Ritzei is the bracha that enables us to duchen, Ritzei is the bracha that converts the Tfilas HaTzibur into a Korban Tzibur, that's what enables the Kohanim to be able to duchen, because the only duchen at the conclusion of Hakrovas Kabbalah Tzibur. So that's what the Karen Ara said, that's why the Gemara has a din, Kol Kon Shaloa, Kol Ragla Ba'Avoida. The bracha of Ritzei is called Avoida. It means Avoida HaKorbanis. That's the bracha that converts the Tfilah into a Korban. Because the bracha Ritzei is the bracha that enables us to duchen, so that's why the Gemara has that din. The Kohanim have to start going towards the bima, towards the elevated platform, before the Chazan finishes Ritzei. The meaning in the yeshiva is that the Chazan waits till all the Kohanim go up, but he doesn't have to wait, strictly speaking. As long as all the Kohanim started to go, is oike raglo before the Chazan finishes the bracha Ritzei. Then the Torah has the dinim of Tumah V'Tara in Parsha Shmini, and you have the two types of a mikveh. There's a din of a mikveh and a din of a mayon, two ways to become ach mayon, or bar mikveh mayim yihi atohor. So what it means is, when a person is tamei, he can either purify himself by being tovel in a mikveh or being tovel in a mayon, either one or the other. What are the differences, la'alocha? So the tefillah in a mikveh needs a minimum of, for tefillahs adam, you need memsor. For tefillahs kelim, let's say you have a little needle, is tomei. So a little needle, minatorah, if the needle is tomei, you want to be tovel it to remove the tumah, you don't need memsor. Minatorah, the Gemara says in Nazir, that a revius is enough. Revius is just a beitza machza of water, a very tiny mikveh. The Gemara says, anad daf in Nazir, bitluhu lirivyasa. The Chachamim wa mevatel adin deraisa, that mid the Rabbanim you need memsor for tefillas kelim all the time, even though the kli is so tiny it can fit in less than memsor. Tosis in the end of Maseches Avodah Zarah, towards the last daf of Maseches Avodah Zarah, points out if you buy pots and pans from a nochri, there's a din of tefillas kelim. So Tosis thinks there you need memsor min haTorah. There it's not just a din midirabbanon. It's a different din. Tfilas kelim, when you buy clay suda from an ochri, that's not in order to remove the tumah. That's like a gerus on the kelim. So that needs memso. Ach b'mei nido yischato, it says by Mochemes Midyon, in Parshas Matas, it says, ach b'mei nido yischato, maim sh'anido tovelus b'hem. Maim sh'anido tovelus b'hem, you need memso. In a mayon is matar b'kolshu. So that din they never changed. If you have a tummy dick a needle and you want to be tovelet, say if you want to be tovelet in a mikveh, some in a tur, if you have a revius water on the ground, it's good enough. In the rabban you need memsor. But if you want to be tovelet, tummy dick a needle in a mayon, may means the source of the water is from under the ground. So then you don't need memsor even with the rabban. What about for tefillas odom in a mayon? So that's a machlokes in the rishonim. The Rashbo in the Torah Habayis has a whole section about Hilchos Mikvos. So he quotes a remez from a pasuk in Novi, Me Hashiloach Ahochim Laat. Where is that pasuk? It's in Novi somewhere. Me Hashiloach Ishaya Ahochim Laat. So Laat is a gematria. Lamed Aleph Tes is 40. So it's a dead giveaway that you need Mem Sof Amaya. Shine. Okay. The Rashba quotes such a gematria. Meham Shiloh, and Shiloh was a Mayan, Me Shiloh. Shiloh was a Mayan on the outskirts of Yerushalayim. This year, the yeshiva is learning Bava Kamma, in case people didn't realize it. All kinds of topics appear in Bava Kamma. So there is a famous thesis in Bava Kamma where they have a machlekes, where the Mayim Shuvim. The Torah's Kohanim has a lot of drushes, and the Sifrei has a lot of drushes also. So Tosfos writes, becomes a lot of times the drushes in the Torah's Kohanim or the Sifrei are just asmachtas midrabbanan. They're not all dinim deraisa. So there is a drusha that when you have a mikveh, you cannot use mayim shuvim. And the Gemara says the whole din of mayim shuvim is only midrabbanan. That's on Samach Zainam and Aleph and Bava Kamma and Meruba. Shiny Shuvim, it's only Midirabban, so that's why you make them. So Tosis writes here, that writes, Mufurish Perak HaMechas HaBayis, Bava Basa Dav Samach Vovam and Aleph. I forgot, I thought it was here, it's not here. Tosis here tells you, look in Bava Basa Samach Vovam. So a big, gigantic Tosis, the Machloikas between the Ri and the Rabin Atam. The din of Maim Shuvim is only Midirabban, it's not only the din Gimaluge Maim Shuvim. Pasal a mikveh, if the mikveh doesn't yet have the mem soa. So if gimaluga maim shuvim fall, then you have to drain out the whole mikveh and start all over again. That's only midirabbana. What if the whole mikveh, or the roiv of the mikveh, is maim shuvim? Kula shova, rubo shov. Is that a din deraisa? Is that a din derabbana? So that's a major machlekes of Rishonim, and a machlekes the mechaber and the ramah. Mechaber is mekel, even kula shov is only the rabbanan. And the Ramah is machmer, that kula shov is the raisa. So if you have a sofik shuvim, whenever there's a sofik shuvim, we're always mekels, Mishnah is like that. But that's only a mekel if it's gimalugim maim shuvim. But if it's kula shov, aruba shov, we assume like the Ramah is paskening, like the Balei HaTosfos, those shitas and Tosfos, that that's going to be a din de raisa. And the Sefer Yosha, the Rabbi Natam, the first half of the Sefer Yosha is the Chidush Rabbeinu Tam al Hashas. And the second half of the Sefer Yosha are the letters, the correspondence that he had with Talmidim or with contemporaries of his. So one of the letters he sends to one of his Talmidim, he heard that this Talmud gave a shir on Parshas HaShavua every Thursday in Yeshiva. And when it came to Parshas Shmini, he suggested a Chidush that the Gemara says when you're Toivol in the Mikvah, you can't be Toivol one limb at a time. You have to have a rachat. It says, kol besar ba'mayim. What does it mean, kol? Mayim shel kol gufo el lehem ba'sachas. You have to submerge the whole body under the water at one time. V'shira chachamim, that it's mem so. Shira chachamim, that it's mem so. So the question is this true by a mayan as well, or only by a mikveh? So the Talmud of the Rabbi Natam had a chiddush lefi pshuto shel mikra. That expression, rachat says, kol besar ba'mayim, which has the connotation of Maim Shul Kol Gufa Elohem Basachas, the word Kol, that word Kol only says when you're Tovel and a Mikveh. When you're Tovel and a Mayan, it doesn't say Kol. So that's why the Rabbeinu Meshulam was a Talmud of the Rabbeinu Tam. So he thought, Lefi Pshuto Shel Mikra, you can be Tovel Ever. You can be Tovel a limb at a time if you're Tovel and a Mayan. So Rabbeinu Tam sent him a very sharp letter that it's absolutely 100% wrong. You're not allowed to say that. So he sends him back a letter. I didn't say it halacha lemaisa. I said the din is that you have to be tovel kol gufa basachas. I just pointed out that lefi pshuto shel mikra might appear like that. Rabbi Natam sends makalei. You're not allowed to say lefi pshuto shel mikra either. Wrong is wrong. You're not allowed to say it's not even pshuto shel mikra. I don't know. The Rabbi Natam had an older brother, the Rashbam. He writes all kinds of wild things on Chumash. That's lefi pshuto shel mikra, and the Rashbam will be the first one to paskin, and not like he wrote on Chumash. I don't know. I don't understand what that's all about. But the Rabbeinu Tam says the way we would assume. If something is wrong, so you shouldn't even say Levi Pshutu Shal Mikra. But that was a suggestion that he had. I remember many years ago, they printed in Hapardes when Rabbi Herzog was still alive. That was, Rabbi Herzog died over 50 years ago. He died about 55 years ago. I remember when he died, Rabbi Soloveitchik said, Divrei Hespit, he gave a shir, Zecha Nishmas, and he said, Divrei Hespit. So I remember they printed the following Dvar Torah in Hapardes, in the name of Rabbi Herzog. It says, V'yisav nesiyot ha-balam v'yivorchim, v'yared me'asos ha-chatas v'ho'olo. So in that pasuk, Rashi says, he said, Birchas Kohanim. So Rashi says, Birchas Kohanim, Yivarechecha Yo'er Yiso. So some of the Mefarshim are bothered with Akasha, that the Mishnah says, in Migdosh, it's not counted as three brachas. Bigvulin, Chutz Lebeis HaMigdosh, the Kohanim say, Yivarech Hashem Yishmerech, we say, Amen. Yivarech Hashem Paravelech V'Yichanecha, Amen. Yisrael Paravelecha, Amen. We said three times. In Migdosh, they treated the whole thing as one unit. So they asked, this was in the Migdosh, why does Rashi say Yivarechecha Yo'er Yiso? In the Beis HaMigdosh, it's only one brach. Everything is only one brach. So Rav Herzog, they printed Rav Herzog, gave a teretz that the Shechina didn't come down yet. Shechina didn't come down. So it was like Bigvulin. After doing all the Avodas, and Shechina still didn't come down, so then the Chumash continues, the Moshe Rabbeinu did something, then the Shechina did rest. So he said, the Nesias Kapayim, before the Shechina rested, so it had the din like Bigvulin. But Rav Herzog explained, what's the difference between the Migdush and Bigvulin? Why is Bigvulin at three different brachas and Migdush? It's one. So I think he suggested that some of the brachas are brachas on Gashmias and some are on Ruchnias. So Bigvulin outside of the Beis HaMikdash, Gashmias is Gashmias and Ruchnias and Ruchnias. Somehow in the Beis HaMikdash, everything is blended in together. So that's why Bigvulin, you say Amen three times, the three distinct brachas, a bracha on Gashmias and a bracha on Ruchnias. And in Migdash, somehow everything blends in together. It's an interesting idea. Got to think about that one. In this week's Sedra, there is a comment that the Ramban has that is problematic. Rav Soloveitchik, I remember, said, anyone who knows the ABC of Mishnayis Machshirin knows that it's not true, what the Ramban writes. So Rav Yosef Engel also writes that it's a Tzorach in Gadol on the Ramban. So the Chumash has a din, Chiyuta Mayim Al Zera, that the Oichlim, from the four things that are Mekabel Tumah, or the Mekelim Oichlim Amashkim, so Oichlim is only Mekabel Tumah if it has Hechsher. You have to rinse it off with one of the Zayim Mashkim, then it's Mekabel Tumah. Kozman, you didn't rinse it off, it's not Mekabel Tumah. So what kind of a din is that? So the Ramban writes that you need water as a, like sometimes you need something to conduct electricity, or there's something that conducts heat. Some things that don't conduct heat, other things do conduct heat. So you need something to conduct tumah. If an Adam Tomei touches food, he won't be metameit unless you have mashkim. Mashkim alulim lekabel tumah. So if the oichel has one of the mashkim on it, then the mashkim will succeed in conducting the tumah. So strictly speaking, if you rinsed off an apple with water, then you dried it off, and there aren't any droplets of water, so it shouldn't be mekabel tumah. It's only mekabel tumah kol zman mashkim is there. So the Ramban says this is a loy plug deraiser. Rabbi Yosef Engel has an essay, one of his svarim, a lekach toiv. Do you have such a thing as a loy plug deraiser? Maybe loy plug is only under Rabbanan. So he starts listing off all of Shas, all the different cases we have a loy plug deraiser. So he quotes this Ramban ala Torah. That the Ramban says really, oichlim should only be mekabel tumah kol zman that the liquid is on it, because the liquid is a conductor of tumah. But the Torah made a loy plug, so once it was rinsed off, once the apple was rinsed off with one of the Zayim Mashkim, even if it's dried off, it'll still be in the Kabbal Tumah. So Rabbi Yosef Engel said, this is very difficult. He quotes a Rashbam ala Torah, he quotes Rashi, quotes many Aridashan. Rabbi Soloveitchik said, anyone who knows the ABC of Machshirin knows that this is the Pshat. That Kol Zman you have the apple wasn't washed off, it's not considered boy l'achil asod. Only after you wash it off, Now it's called an Eichel, Asher Yochel. Now it's Eichel Aroi Lehe Yochel. I want to design Mashkin as Dam. So if you after you wash the apple off with Dam, so now you can't eat it. Before it was edible, now you can't eat it. So that's a Loi Plug Deraisa. Okay, that's a Loi Plug Deraisa. But the Pashtus is that it's not called Eichel Aroi L'Achil HaSodom. until you rinse it off. It's not a vort that the liquid is a conductor of tumah. The vort is that the oichel doesn't have a shem oichel until you rinse it off. That's a machloikis achroinim. Schach has to be gidule karka, tolush and dovishenim akabal tumah. So what if you have apples and pears that were not rinsed off? Can you use them as schach? And Mar says you cannot. But that's a machloikis achroinim. Is that a psul deraisa, psul derabonim? You have oichel that's royal akabal tumah, but it wasn't huchshar. So somehow that it's only pasul the schach mederabonim. Because man is not washed off. It's not called oichel royal achilas adam. Oichel that's michael behema is kosher the schach. It says in Shulchan Aruch because it's not mekabel tumas oichel. But oichel michael adam is pasul the schach echpo. Okay, today is the yortzeit of Rabbi Yitzchak Ochanan, so there's going to be a yortzeit shiur. I apologize to you that I had to give an early shiur, but I have a doctor's appointment today. When you reach my age, you got to make doctor's appointments months in advance to make sure that you're still alive. I think I'm alive. Anyway, the doctor's not sure. So I got to run. So I invite everyone to go to the yortzeit.
Much more time for you.